May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are still in the early days of 2023. I wonder if you've been able to keep up your New Year resolutions so far, anyone who's made any. Many people like to reflect on their lives, their disciplines, their goals at the beginning of a new year. Perhaps the new year is also a good time to take stock of ourselves as a church, too, to remind ourselves of who we are and who we are called to be, to be honest about the challenges we face, but also to renew our trust in God's faithfulness. Our New Testament readings in the next few weeks all come from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And I'd like us to focus on these readings for these coming weeks to help us reflect on our own life and faith as a church. Corinth was a vibrant, growing centre in the early Roman period, the time when Paul was writing. It was a cosmopolitan city with many races, creeds, languages, and cultures. There were Jews, there were ex-Roman soldiers, philosophers, merchants, sailors, freedmen, and slaves. One writer describes it as a wide open boom town, like San Francisco in the Californian gold rush. Paul no doubt saw it as a very strategic city in which to preach the gospel and build a church. From the book of Acts, we know that Paul stayed at Corinth at least 18 months building up the church there. The Christian community in Corinth was probably quite large, but people met in smaller groups in one another's homes. Like the city itself, the church was composed of people from very different backgrounds, from prosperous households to slaves, though probably the majority were not very well off. And reading Paul's letters, it's clear there were many problems in the church. There were divisions, personality cults, a desire for the spectacular spiritual gifts. It seems there was a concern for status and self-promotion and a lack of care for the weak. And some members of the church clearly felt superior to others, both spiritually and socially. I think the Christians at Corinth may indeed have caused Paul more headaches than any of his other churches. Yet Paul clearly had a deep sense of affection for them and believed that God's grace was at work amongst them. So he begins his letter by reminding them of who they are. They are called by God, and they are the church of God. They are not Paul's church. The church does not belong to Paul or any of the other leaders in the fellowship. The church belongs to God, as do all other Christians in other places who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul places the church in Corinth in a bigger story. They belong to God, and they are part of a big network of other Christians, all who are calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. It is not all about them. This is still true for us at St. Ursula's. We are called by God, and our identity is in God. It's not our church, it's not your church, it's not my church, but God's church. We are called by God as part of the worldwide church. We're part of something much bigger than ourselves. It's not all about us. The Corinthians are also reminded they're called to be saints. Now, Paul's not addressing just a few holy individuals in the church, but the whole church. It's not that only good people are recognized as members of the church. It's very clear that the church at Corinth was riven with many problems: pride, arrogance, snobbery, quarreling, sexual immorality, and lack of care for the poor. Not that different from any church then or now. Yet, God calls the Corinthians and God calls us to be saints, to be formed in the likeness of Christ. This is a process that takes time. The church is a school for sinners, where we learn and grow through grace, become who we are called to be. Then Paul, after he's reminded the Corinthians of who they are, called by God and united in Christ, he gives thanks for them. Now, Paul often begins his letters in this way, but it's particularly striking in this letter that he gives thanks for a church fellowship that must have caused him more than a few sleepless nights. Even later in our reading this morning, we hear of splits within the church. And throughout his letter, he has to deal with many controversies, selfish attitudes, and immoral behavior. Yet, he begins his letter by giving thanks for them. He gives thanks that they have received the grace of God in Jesus Christ. He gives thanks that God is at work among them. They are rich in many gifts, Paul says, especially mentioning speech and knowledge. Now, speech and knowledge were the kind of gifts that were certainly highly prized in the wider culture and also in the church. Later in his letter, Paul criticizes them over how they use these gifts. It's not the gifts that are bad, the gifts are good, but their attitudes towards them can be damaging. They tend to believe that these gifts are their own possessions, claiming a superior status because they have them. And Paul points out in the best known chapter in the whole letter, chapter 13, speech and knowledge are good, but without love, they are nothing. So despite Paul's awareness of the weaknesses and failures of the Corinthians, he is genuinely thankful for what is good amongst them. And he also reminds them that what they are in the present is not the end of the story. They wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul looks ahead to the last day, the second coming of Christ, and prays that they will be strengthened to the end so that they will be blameless on that day. They may be very imperfect now, but God's grace is at work amongst them to strengthen them and to form them in the image of Christ. I'm reminded of a poster you may have seen in your younger days, a poster with a rather ugly animal, can't remember what the animal is, but it says underneath, "Be patient with me, God has not finished with me yet." So they will one day be made perfect, not because of their own inherent goodness, but because God is faithful. God is trustworthy, reliable, consistent, dependable, and God is at work amongst them, and God is at work amongst us. Whatever God begins, he will carry on to completion, as Calvin says. God has called them and us into a fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ, and therefore into fellowship with one another. And God will never give them up. God will never give us up either. I find it so encouraging that Paul has such confidence in God as he prays for the Corinthians, despite their pretty unedifying and chaotic nature of their lives and their fellowship. In much of the rest of the letter, he has to confront some very difficult issues in the church, but he does this in the context of his thankfulness for them and his confidence in God's grace. In fact, one writer points out, if these first 9 verses of the letter were taken out, it would be impossible for any reader to come to anything but a fairly pessimistic view of the church in Corinth. However, these words remind us that Paul sees the failures of the Corinthians in the context of God's faithfulness. So perhaps when we're tempted to look at our own church or any church in a negative way, we also need to remind ourselves that the church belongs to God and God is faithful. At our most recent council meeting, I asked the council members to share in small groups what they most hoped and prayed for our church this coming year. And in the group I was part of, 2 things came up. One, that we would be a more thankful community, and the other, that we would be a more united community. Thankfulness and unity, very much themes of our reading this morning. Because after Paul has reminded the Corinthians of their identity in God and given thanks for the grace they have received from God, He then moves on to confront the discouraging present reality of their fellowship. They are not united. There are splits, there are factions in the church. Some say, I belong to Paul. Some say, I belong to Apollos. Some say, I belong to Kephas. Some say, I belong to Christ. There's no suggestion that these leaders were deliberately trying to encourage people to rally around them, but nevertheless, divisions have formed. Perhaps those saying, I belong to Paul, were harking back to the good old days. We know that in churches, don't we? Harking back to the good old days when he was present as the founder of the church. Maybe those wanting to associate with Apollos may have been those who prized eloquent preaching, because Apollos was known as a very good preacher. Those who saying they belonged to Peter may have been Christians who wanted to emphasize their Jewish heritage. What about those who say, I belong to Christ? Well, it may be that they saw themselves as spiritually superior to everyone else. We belong to Christ, but you don't. They were the ultra-spiritual ones who didn't need any other human leaders. Well, we don't know exactly the root of these controversies, but Paul's description of divisions will no doubt strike a chord with many of us, because we're all too aware of the divisions within the worldwide church, between different denominations, within denominations, and even within local congregations. All kinds of things can cause divisions, from difference in theology, ethics and lifestyle, to musical preferences and personality clashes. But note that Paul doesn't appeal to them to stop bickering in the name of tolerance. Rather, he names Jesus Christ as the one ground for unity. So as we pray for unity here at St. Ursula's, let's remember our unity is found in Christ and in nothing else. So this morning we are reminded it's not our church, but God's church. We belong to God together with Christians everywhere. We are called to be saints, to grow in the likeness of Christ, to become who we are. And we are to be united in Christ, not to focus on our own gifts or preferences, but to look to the one who calls us in his grace. And perhaps more than anything else, we are to be thankful. Just as Paul was thankful for the Christians at Corinth, despite all their imperfections, can we be thankful for one another? And maybe especially give thanks for the people we disagree with. I want to end with some words from Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, a wonderful little book, and I hope we're going to maybe have some study sessions on this book later in the year. This is what he says. If we do not give thanks daily for the Christian fellowship in which we have been placed, even when there is no great experience, no discoverable riches, but much weakness, small faith, and difficulty, if, on the contrary, we only keep complaining to God that everything is so paltry and petty, so far from what we expected, then we hinder God from letting our fellowship grow according to the measure and riches which are there for us in Christ Jesus. The more thankfully we daily receive what is given to us, the more surely and steadily will fellowship increase and grow from day to day as God pleases. Despite our failures, God is faithful. Thanks be to God. Amen.